It's called Northbrook Church. It's in Richfield, Wisconsin, just north of Milwaukee. And the first time I heard Mike, I thought, you know, he might make a pretty good family camp speaker. And we've had many conversations back and forth, and he's a guy after my heart. And actually, he just got back from England. He was in Oxford and studied with Ravi Zacharias for a week. So he's got lots to share with us. Mike, come on up. And you're not going to share with us anything about Oxford, though, right? He's not as smart as Ravi. Are you?
No, sir. No, sir.
So tell us what you're going to speak about, and then I'm going to pray for us.
Okay. Can I set this down?
Yep.
So my IQ went up a few points just being at Oxford, but we're still trying to process all of that. It is so great to be with you. My family and I love coming to Fort Wilderness. We love to be with Tom and Ron. These guys are like pastors to us, because sometimes pastors need pastors, right? So if you see me crying on his shoulder this week, you'll know why. He's kind of like my pastor this week. I count it an honor to interact with you. I don't really know any of you. There's a couple people from our church that I do know, but other than that, you're all strangers to me, and I'm strangers to you. There's not a lot you need to know about me other than, you know, I love what I do. I love being a pastor. I love sharing God's word, and my approach is unique to myself. Every pastor has their own approach, and I have chosen to take a very practical approach to ministry, the way that I teach, the way that I lead. I have 2 degrees in theology, and that's great. I love the depth of scripture. I love to dig deep into God's word. But I am also reminded that the book of James teaches us that if we are simply hearers of God's word, then we deceive ourselves. James chapter 1, verse 22. If we're only hearers of God's word, then we deceive ourselves unless we're doers of God's word, which is why I love the theme this week, so what? You reap what you sow. We all are going to sow something, and what you sow, what you do matters. And so this week, I've got a series of messages that I'm going to share with you. I've kind of packaged them in a series I'm simply calling In Process. We're all works in process, aren't we? I think the one danger, though, that we do have is that it's very easy for Christians to slip into a bit of intellectual arrogance, where we think, well, I've been doing this Christian thing a long time, so I'm just a little bit better than them. Now, we would never say that, of course, because we're all too humble to say that, but I think we can all allow that to slip in. 10 years ago, I took my first position as a senior pastor. I've been in ministry for 16 years. For 6 of those years, I was a youth pastor, and I know I still look like a youth pastor. Thank you. But in year 10, I was 28, in year 6, and I took my first church at 28 years old. It was the worst decision I ever made, but we made it work out. There was a group of members at that church. This was in Colorado. I served for 10 years in Colorado. And there was a group of members at the church, God bless their heart, they would come up to me after a worship gathering, or they would come up to me after a prayer meeting, and they would say, Pastor Mike, you're almost there, but you're not there yet. And so I began to find this place called there. So year 2, year 3, I'm thinking I'm almost there, and they'd come up to me, and they'd say, Pastor Mike, you're almost there. And I'm like, yes, I'm almost there. After 5 years, I didn't get there. After 6 years, I didn't get there. After 10 years, I never found this place called there. And then I realized it doesn't exist until you die. Because when you die, then you're there, right? None of us are there until we stand before Christ, are in awe of the scene that we see in the book of Revelation chapter 4. That's when we're there. Until then, we're all in process. There are 5 processes I want to talk to you about this week. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to talk to you about the process of expectations. What do you really expect of Jesus? We're going to look at a passage of scripture that's often preached during the Passion Week when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. There were people in that city that had expectations of Jesus. Some of them were unrealistic. Some of them weren't even sound. And some of them were flat out wrong. I think the way that we look at Jesus and the expectations that we have of him change everything. On Monday, we're going to talk about discovering God's will for your life. We've all at one point have or will or are constantly imploring, God, what do you want me to do? God, what is your will for my life? Now, we pray that with big things. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to be? My career, my trajectory. And then some of us take it to the extreme. God, what do you want me to eat tomorrow night? And here's a clue. He doesn't care what you eat tomorrow night. He's got bigger plans than that. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk, day number three, we're going to talk about forgiveness. And we've all heard that we're supposed to be people that forgive. And I said, that's great. There are people that claim no religious affiliation that know how to forgive. I want to talk about what does it mean to be a person that has a lifestyle of forgiveness. Because two of the main characteristics of Christians are grace and forgiveness, aren't they? They should be part of who we are, not just what we do. Day four, we're going to talk about loving your neighbors. Now, that may seem very simplistic, but I'm a pretty simple guy. This is one of the greatest commandments. Jesus himself said the greatest commandment next to loving God, yet the hardest one to fulfill. I'm actually going to give a message entitled Vampires, How to Love People That Suck the Life Out of You. And finally, the last day, we're going to talk about what God expects of you, and we'll wrap things up that way. As I kind of give this back to Tom, one thing that I believe that really marks the way we do life at our church is I believe there are five things that will help you grow exponentially in your faith. I believe most of you are here and you want to grow. You've come, you've packed up your family, you've come to Fort Wilderness, you've come to detach a little bit, you've come to have fun. But I also hope that you will take time with you and your Creator this week and grow a little bit in your faith. I hope that you leave this camp a little bit better than when you arrived simply because you met with Him. There are five things that I believe that will help you grow exponentially. The first is life-giving relationships. I hope you have them. I hope you make them. I hope you keep them. The second thing that will cause you to grow exponentially is the personal study of Scripture. I talked about this last week in my church. I think we have become addicted to other people's opinions of the Bible. I challenged my church last week. This was my challenge. I want you guys to put away your devotional material, your books, the sermons you listen to. All of them are good. I love to read. I challenge my church to put all that stuff away for a week and simply read the text of Scripture for itself and let the Holy Spirit be your guide and teacher. Life-giving relationships, personal study of the Scriptures. Number three, I think everyone should be in a small group, but that's another sermon for another day. Number four, I believe every one of us needs practical teaching. Now, we could come here today in this week, and I could give you a lot of knowledge. Like Tom said, I was at Oxford this week with people that were smarter than they've forgotten more than I'll ever remember. It was an incredible week. I could probably give you notebooks full of information this week, but if that's all I give you is a bunch of information that you tuck in a notebook, then I have failed you, and I don't want to fail you. I want you to walk away with something practical, at least one thing per day, that you can apply to your faith right now. Because if we're not living it, then as James says, we're deceiving ourselves. And finally, the fifth way that will help you grow exponentially is the process of suffering. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. We don't like that word in our culture. We don't know how to suffer well in our culture, but I believe it's the one thing that will cause us to grow in our faith more than anything else. So we'll talk about those five things a little bit this week, but the main five topics: expectations, discovering God's will for your life, forgiveness, loving your neighbor, and what does God expect for you? Looking forward to getting to know some of you this week. Again, guys, it's a privilege to be here with you and so excited to share all that we've got.
I'd like to pray for you while we do that. Father, thank you so much for this week that we're going to have together. You've uniquely called each of us here. You're a sovereign God, and none of us are here by mistake. And I pray for Mike in particular that you would bless him as he brings forth the word and the things that you've allowed him to be in process with for this week. I pray that we would have open hearts and open minds to hear what he has to say and allow those things to impact us deeply. So we love you, Father. We thank you for this wonderful week that we're going to have together. We pray that you'll bless it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.